and start talking when you feel comfortable
welcoming
all us right. all.
I'm always welcoming. Hello, everybody. My name is Michelle Perez. This is the podcast Working On It. As always, I'm joined and God, I'm awash, man. There's a lot of powerful cosmic energies going on right now. This is fucking a full deck, folks. Joker's wild. We have all the we have all of the buddies in the building. We have my buddy Jake. We have my buddy Ruben. We have my buddy Eliza. Yep. This is a world of buddies. When it comes to buddies, look no further than a world of buddies.
Reunited.
Reunited. And it feels so good, folks. And we've got an absolute heater in the pocket for you today. I was kind of thinking, we've done a lot of interviews right now, and it seems good to just sort of commiserate on a thing. And Eliza's wanted to do this one for a while. But I think I'd be remiss if I didn't think about this and make note of it, given its proximity to the forum. It's not moralizing. It's just fucking world events, baby. So the guy who is the sort of owner, progenitor, and eventually deposed leader of something awful, the message board, that is sort of the font or source of power for the subject matter we'll be talking about tonight, Rich Lotex Kyanka, fucking done offed himself after several allegations and corroborated allegations, I said shit, should say, of spousal abuse and, sort of coercion of his former partner. This is a dirty motherfucker. May you rest in hell, you fucking scum-sucking sack of shit. But that said, this scum-sucking sack of shit created a message board that we still live in the wake of today in the ruination and dog shit imperial core of America. Like, we're still feeling the reverberations of this dog shit. But also, not so dog shit website. It's a real mixed bag. I know, you know, I'm a very flim flam, flip flopping person, very middle of the road person. But like, let me tell you, there were a lot of good things from Something Awful, but also a lot of terrible things from Something Awful. I wanted to ask everyone just a little bit of a roundtable here, and obviously Eliza is the fucking scholar, the PhD of all of this here, but. How much do all of y'all know of Something Awful? I want to give just before we get into this, I want everyone to know, like, full disclosure, like, three of us are basically PA forum scumbags. It was another big forum, but we're all message board people, and so I think our knowledge of Something Awful is a little colored by the fact that, like, it's a much bigger board. Like, Ruben, Jake, which one of you wants to start? Eliza?
No, I'll cut in. It's true. I never had a Something Awful account. I would just look at links people sent me that I thought were funny and screenshots of posts that would make their way to the forum that we were all on, the Penny Arcade forum. It was very interesting because it was like time in the past where you could have such a thing as members of a sub forum on Penny Arcade talking about Something Awful as if it was this like larger place where some of us went and some of us came back and had goods from and like had the accounts. But then it, to me as the person who didn't do that, it was like evident that it was this vast other world of crazy people. Like I've heard more about Fayad thread than I have like actually looked at the forum Fayad. just by
no,
virtue.
No
of...
one should ever look at Fayyad to
be fair. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. This is why I've listened to those wiser than me and those who have gone deeper than me on the subject. But yeah, like to me, Something Awful was always just one of those things where, you know, growing up, you didn't even call them memes. You were calling them image macros, and you would see them and you'd go, haha, where'd that come from? And eventually it would lead back to a thread on SA. Like you would find an article that someone wrote where they pulled the image from, or someone was literally just making their own shit up on a forum, and it propagated out. That was always the most interesting thing to me, is you could just kind of see those waves happening in real time if you were someone who was always online, like I was as a teenager. As far as the best things that I love to have come out of SA, I think just like Drill, probably like one of the best posters to come out of that whole mess.
Memory serves, he was a Fayyad guy, right?
I can only assume. Right? I know his name was Gray Alien, I'm pretty sure.
No, those are two different people.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, those are...
Gray Alien is the every morning I wake up and open palm slap a VHS into the slot.
Right.
He was a legendary poster. Yeah.
Yeah, I was always someone. I think there might be what am I trying to say? Like the internet version of an urban myth that is Drill.
But maybe it is, and I just haven't been told. I have avoided looking into the Drill docs because it's the Spider-Man scene. Like I didn't see it.
It's always funny. Drill hates that meme also.
Yeah, I don't need to know who Drill is, but the idea that he was someone who has been posting on different platforms through the ages, I think was very appealing to people. Maybe
Drill hates open palm slam.
Wait,
No. Drill hates the Spider-Man 2 meme specifically. The train car one where their shoulder, you know.
Oh, sure.
We quite literally watched it the other night.
We watched all three of them on Thanksgiving.
Oh man. Yeah.
If you want a new Thanksgiving tradition at home, folks, watch all three Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies on the Thanksgiving day. There
absolutely.
You go.
Absolutely.
Are they Thanksgiving movies?
The first one is. The and first by one. Of that, yes.
And it's like anecdotally one.
Has a scene set during the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which qualifies it as a Thanksgiving film.
Completely with Macy Gray.
Yeah.
Well, no. It's a stand-in one. It's called the World Unity Parade.
We all know what it is.
We all know what it is.
We all know what it really is.
We all know what it really is. And yeah, we got Willem Dafoe carving the turkey. But yeah, for me, you know, I want to say my first exposure was like I was really, really deeply into gaming and like really shitty nu metal as a teen. So for me, being exposed to Let's Plays before they were like YouTube walkthroughs with commentary where they were actually like people sort of, it wasn't like cold and analytical, but it was like detailing your process in a sort of narrative,
like a proto Let's Play, you know.
It's like a proto like Let's Play, the phrasing is literally like derived from a certain type of thread type on Something Awful. A buddy of mine who I've helped with Foley and audio work, who works for Amazon now, who does that for like their audiobook section, he was a goon and he was a teen goon. And he would show me these threads and he would actually show me like, I'm trying to think of this show, it was called like Game Center CX or whatever.
Oh yeah, Game Center CX.
Yeah.
With the fucking Kacha.
Kacha.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Fucking chief.
That show had a big, that was one of those first shows that like I saw have a Western following only on the internet.
Yeah.
Well, because it was fan translations
exactly,
that
yeah,
were
exactly.
were like goon derived, mm-hmm. where it was this specific discrete, like it's like a pre-fandom thing. If you're a nerd for a specific type of cool and fun thing, and you know people that are willing to give a little wiggle room to like actual translation, like one-to-one translation versus say, and I've only ever had this conversation about people that translate Murakami in literature, like a great deal of people enjoying Murakami, the author, is like derived from the actual work put in by the translators into English or whatever language they're reading it in, that like distinct sort of cool idea. And so like you translate that to say, specific stuff like gamer culture and having fun within that sphere. You're not doing a one-to-one thing, but you're getting the tone and intent down 100%. There is a great, wonderful sense of shared experience from that. Like that's my exposure to it. Like that's what I really liked about Something Awful.
Well, I mean, to clarify the Let's Play thing a little bit, I mean, literally people would start forum threads and be like, let's play Crusader Kings. And it would just post screenshots, hundreds of screenshots and hundreds of posts about here's how my Crusader Kings game is going. So, and this also turned into stuff where people would make choose your own adventures, doing new illustrations and stuff like that for each new decision by either the narrator or, you know, sometimes they would incorporate player input from the audience, which is what we got Problem Sleuth from, and then eventually Homestead.
Dropsy. I was just gonna say
Dropsy, yeah. Was also one of those, right?
Correct. Dropsy, yep. Start Dropsy the Clown, which is an incredible indie game by Jay Thole, and we should have him on sometime. He's great.
That's what's up.
Dropsy, I was on GBS, the Something Awful main sub forum in, like, I don't know, 2006 or whenever it was, when Dropsy the Clown as an LP started in GBS. And it was not a game at that point. It was literally just pixel art illustrations, all of which were phenomenal. And I ended up backing the Kickstarter. I think it's one of the only Kickstarters I've ever bothered with, actually. And then played the game live on stream and saw myself in the credits three times for some reason. I don't know why I'm in the credits three times, but I am there. And then later I was he accepted some art from me for Hypnospace Outlaw, so I'm in that too. But yeah, it's Jay's amazing. It's one of the best examples of like a successful Goon project as opposed to all of the other Goon projects that we know, right, and love. Premiere of which is Grover House.
Absolutely, yeah. I won't take up too much time, but yeah, this is definitely, upon reading this, the only other thing that I could kind of think as a point of comparison, because I'm thinking of like a type of Something Awful user that gets like a sort of sense of infamy attached to them.
Right.
And there's like a specific type of SA user. We think of like libertarian weirdos. First, you say Something Awful user, I think Vile Rat's dead. And I think of Vile Rat being dead. And well, Low Tax being dead now is obviously going to supplant that now, however long the forum survives. But there's like this sort of weird, detached, don't care about, when it comes to the I versus we equation, these people choose I, our own motivations, sure, or this or that. I think of Grafton, New Hampshire, and like Galt's Gulch, and that town getting fucking overrun by bears. Like, the more I've read about this story, like, the more I almost sort of want to sit down with you, Jake, and like set aside some time.
If we can, yeah,
like, do something about that. But
just to say, like, in the vein of our previous episode of Something Awful related material about the benzos called the juice, there is something to be said about maybe not DIYing every single thing in your life. And well, these are the cautionary tales. Fuck
what?
You.
Like, no, no.
Well, like, listen, Grover, I think he's... One thing we'll get to is Grover happy these days or not? We'll save that for after we've talked about it, but he's pretty freaking jazzed about this whole thing. I think that's exactly what he would have said to me as well.
I'll say this about the Russian benzos users. They did have a community, a verbally set up community.
Yeah.
But like the animating impulses of this Grover guy are really, really strange. Like, this guy certainly hasn't invented doing a project and being a jackass.
Right. That's like what we were talking about. He's not the only guy to go into Home Depot and be absolutely ridiculous. But
yeah. But yeah,
he is kind of at the top of the totem pole, so to speak, on the classes of that guy. He's high up on the pedestal.
Looking through the thread, like it's so like curated, and like it seems like criticism is like completely been assuaged, that it's like this document
we should pull back.
People pull into. But we should
pull back for like 1 second, because
absolutely
we all know what Grover House is, and I'd assume that a lot of the people listening do too. But to formalize this is even something we're talking about because it was a Something Awful thread for a long time. It kind of became a meme outside of the Something Awful thread, which is like why we're even talking about it today. This thread is fucking 15 years old, and it's still very fun to talk about. So I think that says something. Eliza, or one of our own co-hosts, had a big long Twitter thread for it for a while that was, I think, really helpful in getting people who weren't there informed about what was going on with Grover House, and thus turning it into even more of a crazy DIY gone wrong meme story.
Right. I mean, that's my strength, right? That's right. My role in the internet ecosystem is that I will say, hey guys, remember that thing that happened 5 years ago? And everyone goes, no.
Right.
And then I do a Twitter thread.
I've talked about like a discrete group of friends about the phenomena of hyperthemesia, but like you're basically the internet's sense of hyperthemesia, because you have been there for like fucking so many of the major flashpoints, and you have this sort of massive archival knowledge of like those crazy mimetic phenomena, which is just wild to observe.
I'm extremely autistic, and I have an eidetic memory for text if it hits me in the right way. So, you know, I can remember like precise quotes of Akewood, or you know, how memes are phrased exactly. Like, for example, it gives me physical pain when people fuck up the salami cat meme and say a little salami as a treat instead of little a salami as a treat, because that was one of the initial. So that's just an example.
No, absolutely.
I can't wash or feed myself, but I can certainly tell you about some goon projects.
And I think one thing that's nice about the threads is that it brings people out of the woodwork too. People who were there back at the time, and people who maybe weren't there but are like, I'm an engineer and I'm just now discovering this, and this is blowing my mind. Like,
right. Yeah. I mean, I really value the audience that I do have, because I can post something like this and say, hey, could someone who knows what they're talking about break this down for us? And then they do. And I can give them the spotlight, and it's great. I love that. I love being able to curate and provide accurate information to people. That's the best for me.
Yeah. To that end, without being too redundant, without further ado, like Eliza, if someone, you know, had to ask you, where does one start with like Grover House? Like, was Grover sort of infamous mod before this thread really gained traction? Like, what was this fucker known for?
I have to say, first of all, that one of the reasons why I think a good person to be talking about Something Awful, and there are pros and cons to me doing it, one of the pros and cons is that I was not active or known at all on Something Awful at any point. No one would remember my username, none of my posts, nothing. Like, no one ever got in a fight with me. I was primarily a lurker. So, you know, one of the issues with digging up Something Awful drama is that inevitably you look into, well, what are these people doing now? And a lot of them have not achieved the good endings of the internet. So that sort of poisons the enjoyment of the story. But you don't have that problem with me, because I was only sort of vaguely, and I was like a guy in the background of a historical photograph, you know, looks a little bit too modern to be there. That's me. So that's good. Sorry, what was the question again?
I'm sorry, like Grover, there's...
Oh, what do we want to know about Grover?
Like elevator pitch. Someone says, I don't know about Grover House.
I wanted to contextualize my answer because...
Absolutely,
It's very possible, and in fact likely, that we could receive corrections to the information that I have from people who know better than I do. So I just wanted to say that I don't consider myself an authority, and everything I say is to the best of my knowledge.
Yeah. So I don't want to overstep or, you know, correct, but Jake had one time brought up the numbers, like one of our biggest episodes in terms of views was Da Juice.
Right.
That's right.
Goons probably fucking looked that up. So we want to do right by you folks.
Safe to say, if you're a goon listening and you were there or you have something to say about what we said, we're on Twitter. And we're also at Working On It Show with a G at gmail.com.
We got no ego. If you want to come engage, at us,
it's all good.
We would love to publish some corrections. Love to do that in like next episode if we had a mailbag, had some corrections, editorials.
Yeah. Ruben has been in love with the concept of a mailbag.
I would love to say like, oh, actually that thing I said was completely wrong. I'm the asshole. So I just wanted to say that because, as far as I know, Grover was a mod. I think he was a mod in the military forum, which was called GIP, Goons and Platoons, which was funny because he's not actually a troop. He is, in fact, a contractor for the Navy. But he thought that this sort of qualified him as a troop. And so there was this sort of this frisson of stolen valor throughout his posting history that... it didn't go well for him sort of as a personality. I don't think he was ever considered likable. A lot of people who get into moderator positionships definitely do it because they're trying to like crowbar their way into being popular. And you can do that by having a certain power of banning over people. Like they have to be polite to you, but almost never translates into people like actually liking you. And he always struck me as one of those mods that had just, you can see it in the original thread actually, is all these people replying and just kissing his ass and being like, wow, Grover, what a great house. When the house looks like shit, even to people who have absolutely no knowledge of code enforcement or, you know, I don't, maybe it is up to code, I don't know, but the house looks bad. It has the feel to it of, this is a house that somebody who has no idea how to make houses made.
Like the latter portion.
By his own admission, you know?
Right, yeah. Exactly. Someone asked him at some point, he's like, well, where'd you learn all this stuff? He's like, it's not hard. I just read a book and, you know, made my little CAD and put the house up, and the house looks terrible. I mean, I don't know how it functions. Maybe he's comfortable in there, but
it's so funny to me because it so perfectly epitomizes like what I call like software engineer brain, where they're like, well, you know, to do my job, I just read a book about some code and then I copy some shit down and then it's done. And they think they can apply that to like every aspect of their life.
Absolutely.
So like his building philosophy is like, I've got these books right here. I can throw some shit together. I know math, whatever. Mm-hmm.
That's why there is a decent countervailing argument against a lot of purely analytical thinking, where it's like, no, motherfucker, you do need to take like at least one humanities course, because right. if you are like that unmoored from like the human condition, where you're like thinking purely in terms of like, this is the mathematical or like the most optimized outcome, or it's like, okay, so what's your metric for that, and how is this weighed ethically?
Yeah.
And we have this conversation like to the day, whether it be NFTs, this or that, and the profit motive, for example, to really press the 1998 button, like, but just imagine, listeners, everyone in the chat here, just, you know, imagine we're in pre-1998 times, and if you consent to hearing anything else I'm saying, just press the 1998 button. Okay, cool, you've made it past this point. Yeah, it's like if you only have the James Damore autism, where it's like, no, I'm thinking of this in analytical terms, like there are certain races that have like certain pros and cons to them, and it's just like, you're just saying bell curve shit or whatever,
right?
Where it's largely found to be bunk science, you know.
Bell curve would be a great drag name.
Bell,
like with an E.
Yeah.
Bell curve.
Yeah. Bell curve, and then you like throw a hyphen, Yeah. Like yeah. Hyphen at the end.
That'd be good.
That would be pretty good.
Bill Curve.
This is an aside. Not to. Everyone go with their drag name now.
Oh no.
In order.
I have a list. My serious drag name and not my jokey one is Sebastian Saint Sebastian. And anyone who's familiar with the 90s club kid culture, you know, will pick up the reference to it's a double pun. It's a reference to John Saint John and Saint Sebastian, who is largely considered to be the gay saint. And then my brother and I will both be the one drag queen. So we will both be Sebastian Saint Sebastian at the same time.
Folks, we love a faggot double entendre.
Right? Yeah.
Jake.
I mean, I don't have anything on deck. So now you caught me in the blank head mode.
Let me bring up my text file.
I'd take any and all suggestions.
All right. Mine would be Hell and Earth.
Hell and Earth is great. You've talked about that one before.
URTH is the Earth.
I think that there is one already. I mean, that's the thing with drag names is you always have to look up if there's already a drag name.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, but that doesn't count for our purposes, right? Shit.
I played myself.
Where's my fucking text file? Well, I can recite a few of them. Robin Williams Sonoma.
I would 100% be Robin Williams Sonoma.
Go off.
That's incredible.
I
want to use that as a Twitter. That's great.
You can use it if you want.
They're
Twitter display names, right?
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, pretty much the same. Yeah, I love it.
Ruben,
you there? Ruben's coming to us from the Wi-Fi zone.
Yeah, no, Ruben is currently in a technical difficulty space. In a certain part of the Balkans referred to as the zone. I don't know if you've ever heard of this place. It's near like a place of some negative import, but.
Yeah, like, I've been in the zone.
I live in the zone all of the time. But yeah.
Oh man, maybe he's not there anyway. It's fine.
No worries.
Listen.
No, he's here. It's just he's having technical difficulties.
No, I don't mean. Never mind.
No worries.
I know he is in the call. I'm aware of that.
No worries.
Ah, there he is.
Hello. I don't have a drag name. I don't want to dance.
You don't have to dance. You could lip sync.
Me neither. We'll be in the audience, Ruben.
I said I don't want to sing either.
Ruben, you don't have to
dance.
They
don't sing. They lip sync.
Ruben,
that's
you
true.
Could. Ruben,
wait.
Ruben,
it's not Ruben. Karaoke.
Ruben, you could simply serve cunt, sir.
I mean, I think
yeah,
both.
You just show up and serve cunt.
That's it. That's all you have to do, my guy.
Very simple.
To that end, sorry. But I apologize. Beyond that.
Listen, we'll Eliza. Get back to drag names. We'll circle back on drag names.
We'll circle back, folks.
I'm sorry. I can't find my file. I must have named it like blah, 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 or something.
Listen,
not...
I only serve cunt at Denny's, and it's on the $5 menu.
Nice.
What is that even supposed to mean?
Ruben, you only serve cunt at second breakfast.
Lord of the Rings promotion.
God, the Denny's Lord of the Rings promotion only had good food on it. It's so fucked up.
The Shire sausage was great.
The Shire sausage was incredible, Ruben. You had second breakfast and Who Burrito in the same fucking era.
I fucking missed out.
But yeah, sorry for the aside, Eliza.
Listen, asides happen.
Besides happen, folks.
That's
golf. To that end.
Listen, I have Rover House pulled up right now. I have the thread pulled up.
What I was gonna say, yeah, we were kind of talking about the mods and the sort of prevailing sort of feeling of Grover, but then there's the thread itself, just to kind of get us back on track and like
I also where... saw the thread.
Mm.
While you're in there, sorry. And you mentioned the AutoCADing of building the plans.
Mm-hmm.
So specifically what Grover did was pull International Residential Code from 2003 and then use that as a baseline for how much rebar has to be in your foundation and what kind of sand do you need. and then engineered the housing plans from that. I'm also currently looking at IRC 2003 in the foundation.
God damn.
God, that's wild.
That's the kind of investigative work we love. Oh yeah, Ruben, but so that's Ruben's actually only always the second in on post. That. I just want to set this. I just want to frame the initial Grover House post for the listeners, because again, essentially what we have here, right? This is a man who decided to make a giant addition to his house in an effort to raise the equity on his house. And he did it by taking out a bunch of loans on his house, presuming that he would make the house more valuable. You know, I mean, that's pretty standard for, I guess, building additions onto houses. But usually, you know, you pay people for that. You pay contractors. He instead says, my wife and I are building an $80,000 scratched out, $85,000, 2,000 square foot addition under our house. We're doing it completely by ourselves. That includes framing, sheathing, roofing, doors, windows, flooring, plumbing, electrical, house wrap, kitchen, stairs, tile, trim, everything but the concrete and the siding. Their existing house is 1,600 square feet. They are trying to literally double the size of their house by themselves.
I was about to say, I don't want to throw too much of a monkey wrench into that, but like for you, Eliza, you've lived this, you've breathed this. Off the top of your head, when it comes to like starting with Grover House, where would you start for the outsider looking in? Like, why is Grover House like stand out as such a weirdly unique, like libertarian fucking goofball DIY project where desire trumps reason? Like,
I think that you can just look at a picture of the house. And I mean, it has become symbolic to everybody who's familiar with it. Yes. But even showing it to a new person, they're going to have questions. Like the classic photo of the house is sort of this, you know, angled three-quarter view. And it is very large. It has that look of a cheap home-built middle America vinyl siding beige house. It has mismatched windows. It is it's like a light beige color with white trim. It's just very, very ugly. It looks like it might be a barn, you know, and the garages are sort of offset from each other in a weird way. It is on first appearance quite offensive looking. Not in a, you know, Mansions from Hell or what's that account called?
McMansion
hell or something. It's not like that. It's just really ugly. And you see a lot of houses like that driving through any rural area, really anywhere in the United States, which I think is one of the accessible things about the house, is that it could be anywhere, could be anything, could be anyone's. So, and you know, it doesn't start out particularly funny or interesting, and like I said, there's no conflict for a really long time because people just keep kissing his ass, which I think is why my thread took off. It was just sort of a right place, right time thing. But I also went through the effort of saying, you know, I started with a picture of the house, and even just that picture, and I said, you know, it's time to put this shit on Twitter for real, because no one's ever going to buy an archives account again. And older threads like this, even famous threads on Something Awful, depending on what subforum they were posted in, once they got to a certain age, they got put into an archive, and you needed to pay for an account in order to see them. So the Grover House material was not publicly available. So I pierced the veil, basically. Other people had posted about it in different places, but I don't think anyone had done it to quite the same
extent.
Now that I'm thinking about it, it's hard to say. Like, it feels intangible why this hit so hard. And I kind of got that feeling like reading through the original thread as I was doing last night. And thankfully, the Goon image host, which is called Waffle Images, has been retrieved, put back up by Something Awful's new owners, which means that the original Grover House thread is now much, much more readable because the majority of the images have been restored. So
not to interrupt, again, full disclosure, like if you go through the thread or you go through like archival stuff, anyone who like maybe gets an essay account, you know, kind of wanting to do a deep dive, like a great deal of like the YouTube material that relates to Grover House is just straight up and wiped off of the internet, because like a lot of this shit is embarrassing upon closer scrutiny. But yeah, sorry. Like Grover's links themselves.
Yeah, I mean you can go look at it now if you want. I'm sure somebody at this point has exported it into PDF or something. If we can find a link, I'll provide it. A lot of it it's very anodyne. It's like not immediately offensive, and it's, I think part of it is the subtlety is the interesting thing. And the thing that Jake said about engineers and computer nerds is right on, because one of the things that's so awful about the house is that it looks deeply uncomfortable. It's aesthetically bereft, even though they consulted a decorator on several occasions and like seems to put a lot of time and effort into picking tile colors and paint colors and appliance colors and stuff like that. But the end result is just, it's just awful. It's almost non-Euclidean in the way that it has no harmony whatsoever to it. Like it feels, looking at the pictures, you feel that if you were in this house, you would be uncomfortable, which is a feeling that I have had in amateur building projects. I have experience personally with two other sort of Grover House style constructs, one of which is the apartment that I live in now, which is the weirdest fucking place, literally the weirdest apartment I've ever been in. And I've lived in some weird places, but this place was built in the mid-century by some guy who did not give a shit about code, did literally everything himself, and designed it to look like an original Wolfenstein wad. I would say almost everything is brick, and if it's not brick, it's wood paneling. And he has all of these just decorative beams that don't actually have any support structure to them. There's like pebbled amber glass like you would find in a diner from the 80s. And the whole place is covered in a fake ironwork in like organic shapes that clearly have been cut out of like snipped out of a sheet iron and then hit with a hammer a few times to make it look like it's real ironwork.
Those are wild, in as much as like it costs like a lot of money to fuck up in that specific way.
Right. And this place should be on the fucking historical register. The brick wall that I'm looking at right now is not even real bricks. It was built with cobblestones that were rescued from the streets of downtown Seattle when they pulled up the cobblestones and put down pavement. So, I mean, if they ever tear this place down, it's going to be a huge pain in the ass. So I love this place, even though it is definitely the Grover House of its day. But I think the thing that makes Grover's actual house so completely unlikable is that it has no charm or history or interest to it whatsoever. It's literally just an engineering guy going, I'm going to build a space for my family to walk around inside of. It looks like a Sims house.
I think your comparison to a barn is like actually really apt. It has a single lofted space, and like the bottom of it is just one big area.
Mm-hmm.
And there's within that a table that's like a dining room table, and then a whole kitchen section. Mm-hmm. But there's no separation between the two. It's just one big room. It's a barn. It's literally.
I was about to say, Jake, not to interrupt, but like the fucking wild thing has been, as anyone that knows me knows, like, I'm all about that paper. I have been doing several projects and bits of work, and one of the jobs I've done while I've also been working on I've been working on personal projects, but one of the things that I've been working on alongside being contracted by the same guy working on a book while I work on my own book was one of the projects he has on the side as a term of our contract was just like physical general labor, because I'm just good at that. One of those things was I basically have been restoring this large garage that lives on floodplains style living, which immediately makes me think of Grover House, because not going to get too in the weeds, but Grover House is basically situated in swampland.
Well, I think really you'd be getting into the reeds.
Yeah, fuck me. Yeah,
got him.
Yeah, it, I mean, that's the other thing is there's such a poetic, epic rhythm to the telling of the story, because Grover House built this house in the Great Dismal Swamp.
he has so much of his posting is setting up his plans, and then the first thing that happens is he runs into something he didn't think of, which is that he's in the fucking swamp land. Yeah, no, water is underground.
It's quite possibly like the one very of the oldest post. It is, like, you know, whether it be swampland or sand, it's quite literally the old axiom, like, you know, a castle built on sand, you know. Right.
Yep. It's just mud. And there's this great picture of him, like, the quintessential goon guys, like
fucking trench.
He's actually only probably about 25, but he looks 40, and he's standing knee deep in clay, wet clay,
with the measuring tape out. He's in there.
He's balls deep in the Great Dismal Swamp.
Oh my god.
And yeah, just saying that is funny. And so I think it's just a series of wonderful coincidences that make it a wonderful story. It has, you know, Trixie Mattel says that comedy is the juxtaposition of specificity and exaggeration, which is a wonderful definition of comedy. Yeah. And Grover House, even though it is a true story, has that specificity and that exaggeration, even if you only report it directly from the thread. You don't even have to exaggerate anything yourself. It's already exaggerated.
I don't know if we went over this before, but this podcast does, and I will pull rank here. No. Everyone at gunpoint mandate is like going to endorse Trixie and Katya.
True.
Just off the top of their head.
Yeah.
No offense to all those haters out there. Trixie and Katya, oh man, homie.
We're gonna make you the two people who justify the existence of RuPaul's Drag Race, like, single-handedly themselves.
I can buy that.
Yeah, no. We're not pro fracking, but we're pro Trixie and Katya.
We are.
Gonna say, like, one thing that's, you know, as opposed to our previous Something Awful deep dive that's fun about Grover House, I don't think anyone gets hurt, you know,
that's
other
true.
Than Grover's bank account. Like,
that's a great point. I love internet drama where nobody, there's no, like, sex crimes, there's no murder, nobody, you know, has to go to inpatient. It's just a guy fucking up in a way that
a
is
a bunch of money
really,
and bad engineering.
Exactly. Yeah. Nobody gets hurt. It is a guilt-free enjoyment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, because you're our anchor to this whole thing. So the process begins, like, where would you say, like, the building and all of this, like, comes into play? For me, as the outsider looking in, I've had people in my family, like, largely work in masonry. Now my brother and now my father, who was a neophyte to this, are, like, carpenters, and they were, like, work with carpentry associated with, like, a big fucking construction company with contracts within Michigan. Like, these motherfuckers are building stuff that is used for, like, big actual infrastructure projects in Michigan. But, like, a lot of our family's work has been in, like, masonry. So masonry is just setting down a shit ton of a sort of cement base that will be the sort of base for the building of a place. So you're setting a big fucking cement cube in this shifting swamp or whatever. So it is a big insecure piece of land. What does Grover decide to do from this point onward, Eliza?
I think he just slaps it down on top of the swamp.
I can read off his solution. Fuck. I can read off his solution. I have it set up.
Someone very early on asks about pilings and stuff. And go ahead,
so
Jake.
So here we go. This is right after he goes, this is the big problem. The water table by the way, for to get the number, is 6 inches below the surface. So that's what he's dealing with. He digs 6 inches deep, he hits water.
A fucking cracker.
It's literally a swamp. It's not soft.
Yeah, this is not hyperbole, folks.
So right after they establish that, this is underneath the butthole picture, if you're on the thread.
But
my concrete guy, hold on. Yeah, I'm going to read off.
My one interruption will be, why does he do this? He could buy a lot of the swamp land for cheap.
I mean, it's a house they bought, right? In the first place.
His house is already there. They've been living in it.
Yeah, his house is already there. It's not like they bought the house. Like, they've been living in the house, which I was also going to mention briefly. That one single picture of the pre worked on Grover house, it just makes me think of, like, in a serial killer documentary where they show the victim and it's a picture of them at, like, a picnic and they're smiling and they have, like, no idea what's about to happen to them.
Last known photograph.
I just feel bad for that house in the photograph. Like, it's like, oh, you poor house. You don't even know what's about to happen.
This is my design.
So after Grover digs out the whole side of that house, that poor house, mm-hmm. he goes, my concrete guy selling him concrete, incentivized to get rid of this concrete. Told me it would be okay if we put down some pea gravel. So I go and buy a $400 truckload of pea gravel. We put it down all in the mud, stake off all the heights for concrete, and lay down rebar. And the city comes out and fails it. He's like very exasperated by getting the fail.
This will not be the last fail by inspectors,
tells me the ground is far too weak and the pea gravel is illegal and has to be removed. Also, because of the problems, I would have to hire an engineer. So I hire an engineer and he tells me we have to come out and dig 18 inches deeper, widen the trenches, pour in number 57 stone, and build up wood molds the whole way around the concrete. Grover says, I'm about in tears at this point. But we work out an alternate plan where instead of dumping $1,500 worth of stone in, I just add $500 worth of stone, step the foundation, and add an extra layer block of deep parts instead. I pay the engineer to come out the whole day, watch us dig, so he could probe the ground and approve it. We can immediately dump in wheelbarrows full of rocks before the ground seepage turns it into mucks that wouldn't support the house.
Seepage.
So he's like trying to beat nature at its own game by dumping rocks in before it gets too wet. Because the weather and having to work around predicted rainstorms, which they're already working under. Yeah, and then it just goes on. But he goes, he already $8,000 over budget because of this.
So
like,
Ruben,
this is like day two.
Ruben, you're the guy who knows the most about this stuff of the four of us.
Absolutely.
After reading the International Residential Code from 2003, what's your take?
Hello. All right. So what I was going to say about that is, he had a big fuck up there in listening to the first guy and buying that pea gravel. Since he was already at what I assume from the class material based on the photos that he's just in fucking sand looking at the foundation of his house. Or he's not in sand. He's in fucking
metaphorically
mud.
Mud. Yeah, mud.
That he is at lowest rating for load-bearing foundation materials. What the city wants him to do is potentially upgrade. If he didn't do this half step that they proposed to him, I think they wanted him to upgrade to a sedimentary or foliated rock foundation by making him buy a really expensive rock and to get rid of the gravel. But it seems like they didn't introduce any sand, just bigger stones. So I think he ended up with silty gravel, which was only like a 25% upgrade in the load-bearing pressure of that foundational material. It just went from clay to silty gravel, potentially, for 2,000 pounds per square foot that could be supported by that surface. So all in all, he saved a good amount of money, but for a place that's hit by a lot of hurricanes that you might not want to get tilted very well, going with potentially the cheapest legal foundation material is shit move for a house.
Yeah, no, that's the fucked up thing. There's that cost benefit analysis. It's almost weird. Like, one of the things I see from the outsider looking in, like, check this out. Like, I've mainly been a general laborer most of my life. I couldn't weigh out like the big decision making overarching decisions, but like the way he just like constantly does the lowest bidder approach to absolutely everything throughout the process. All like I think there's like two crazy sets of images, but there's an iconographic part of Grover House for me, which is always like he has the Lowe's laminate over the surfaces of the things that he, like, over the surface of the plywood that he applies. He, like, never removes it or whatever. And it's, like, so indicative of his thought process where it's, like, lowest bidder or whatever. This extends to government. The mission of the moon, lowest bidder contractors. Tesla being government subsidized. And Tesla subsequently just being a series of cars that always burst into fucking flames or whatever. Lowest bid contractors. But it's like, yeah, no. Lowest bidding or whatever, and you think you're going to make the difference through skill. It's, again, it's a castle built on sand, man. And that's like the entry point for most people. If they're not necessarily, if they don't necessarily have like the intellectual faculties or this or that, it just looks dog shit. Because if you don't have the intellectual faculties to like acknowledge why X amount of clearance and the masonry work, and then also building in a swampland or whatever, like what makes Grover House unique, and it's the animating factors of its creation. It's the guy that fucking does the thing that informs the weirdness of it, you know?
There's this element of it that calls back to the software engineer brain thing where he just thinks he just like looks at all this building code law and is like, yeah, but if I cut a little bit here and there, like that's fine. Like there's, right. I'm not actually breaking those rules.
Jake,
he just thinks he's smarter than people that he could be paying to do this work for him.
You know, what's up? Like, rest in peace to your grandma, but I'm fucking different.
Yeah. Like that's Grover. Like he's,
I have a direct quote here as well from the second page.
Do you though?
Ruben, I'm going to, you cut out a little bit here, but it might.
I mean,
it's
one thing.
There it is.
Okay, well, hold up.
To teach yourself tile from a book or something, but doing all the structural planning and whatnot for a first timer seems mind boggling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like I've done grouting or whatever. I'll say this. After doing grouting or whatever, like I did the grout work and I painted most of the interior of my parents' home or whatever, but like most of that stuff, they were either working in tandem with me or like I was working in tandem with someone that had done it and had done contract work and had done it before, where it's almost like an apprenticeship like thing. Like it's absolute hubris to just go in, think you can read something and think that's like, okay, I can interpret it one-to-one. That's going to one-to-one translate to experience and then an outcome where the thing works out well.
Yeah, I mean, he's also just not, this is very common with nerds and engineers in particular. They do not think about the end user experience ever. So you look at this house and you think, oh my God, that giant open living room is going to bounce sound back and forth off the front wall of the loft into and out of the kitchen again. It's going to be so fucking loud in there all the time. Like trying to watch TV is just going to be impossible. Or the fact that the living room, which is on the upstairs of the barn, there's a slanted barn roof, you know, it's not a flat ceiling or a drop ceiling. It's flush to the angle of the roof. There's recessed lighting, which are those little can lights that you put into the drywall of the ceiling and then they angle down into the room. Those lights are pointing directly at the couch. So you're going to have recessed lights pointing into your eyes as you try to watch television. And I think we've all been in houses where there were just little choices like this that were awful. I mean, most people as adults at some point stop using the overhead lights that are in every cheap apartment. We call them boob lights, you know, the ones that are just like in the middle of the room and they have a stupid little cover on them.
Hell the fuck yes.
I hate those. I immediately stop using them as soon as I move in somewhere and put lamps around because that's what adults do. So Grover has just designed this entire house to, you know, reach his like mattress on the floor bachelor level of understanding of living spaces, even though he's married and has kids. And that's very apparent throughout the construction. Like, there's no sense of scale, there's no harmony, all of the colors are brown, everything is brown. It's awful. It's just everywhere you turn, there's something else wrong with it.
Yeah, I would set aside, like, because we'll probably get into this now, but like we think of the mimetic qualities of it, but like in terms of the aesthetic stuff, like for me, just because of like my work or whatever as an artist, as a writer or whatever, like I won't lie, if it comes to like weighing out a X subject intellectually or whatever versus the other, I'm going to move to aesthetics first. And then if I do have an intellectual engagement with the subject, it will be like, well, okay, your interpretation of aesthetic, just because I started first before I went into art. And the funny part about like a lot of people's like shit is that they assume their criticism is like a close reading when instead it's like a very surface reading. Like Grover House like definitely exists as this artifact where those contradictions are laid bare, because this is a place that someone decided to live in. And we have that. For me, there's all of these pictures of the creation of Grover House and like the memes about like what he says about it, but then there's that single image where it's the open face of the house. There's like maybe one symmetrical part about it where it's those double doors with the windows set by them, and you go above it and it's that sort of curved window for a bedroom, and then adjacent to it it's this unsymmetrical set of windows, and then a set of windows above it, and all the measurements are dog shit. And yeah, no, it doesn't even look like a sort of engineers without aesthetic sort of derived home, but instead it looks like a randomly generated dungeon within a video game. Beyond, like, it looks like a fucking deep faked house.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a fucking barn. It
looks auto generated. Yeah, it does look like a barn. And it's only because, like, I've been, for the last 2 months, I've literally been clearing out a place with 6 years of flood damage and shit. Like, the way this guy designed the place was dog shit. It's a two-car garage or whatever, and this place, my boss is like gonna tear down two of these houses that are on the property as well as a shed on the place. He's gonna turn the place into a fucking orchard. And while it does exist on a sort of flood plain sort of area, he's going to have enough presence of mind to go beyond like his personal impulses. And he's going to be like, we're going to build a big fucking trench. So if a flood ever fucking happens here again, we're going to be flush with whatever amount of water comes here. And this is not going to completely destroy this place. And we're going to have like $20,000 worth of flood damage because I saw what these fuckheads did. Like, I walk in this place like every other day, anytime I'm in this place, and it's like, these poor folks didn't know it was going to play out like this. They didn't have the money to like build a trench or this or that, and that's just how it plays out in this fucking crazy world or whatever. And it's nuts because, yeah, he could do an orchard or whatever, but this property that all of these building materials and et cetera are on, like, no one is ever going to be able to live on these acres of land again. It's because of how the flood seasons work in this specific part of the county, which is interesting to me, or excuse me, interesting to me on a firsthand basis when we think of Grover House and yeah, just straight up building in fucking swampland. Grover decided to do this shit on purpose. He said, I'm different out of the gate.
And there's also like, it's funny because he does say that, but one thing that I think is funny about the thread in general that we haven't talked about yet is he does have to get contractors for some parts of this. Like he just
does.
To.
He does.
And every single
time. He takes photos of it.
Every single time his comment is, wow, really glad we contracted that out. They got something done in 2 days that would have taken me like a week and a half. And it's like, yeah, no shit, man. like the answer is so close to you, Grover. You're so close.
Well, this is more of an Eliza thing, but Eliza, if you had to think of ratios or percentages, you're the Anderol expert. Like, one, Grover versus Grover's wife and the drug and amphetamine we know is Adderall. Like, how responsible is Adderall for the creation and sustenance of Grover House?
Hard to say because I don't think we ever hear directly from Grover's wife, but she is his partner and co-worker with all of these projects. So he refers to, you know, what work she's doing and how they switch off tasks and stuff, which is great. That seems, I don't know. I mean, again, we're only getting his version, but that seems pretty healthy. So, you know, hard to say. In general, usually with domestic tasks, women tend to work more, but that's like a very general statement. He does specifically say at one point, let me see if I can find the quote here. Now that my wife has an Adderall prescription, she'll go at it like a machine until 1 or 2 a.m. some days and get tons done. Right now, I think she's a bit upset because all I've done on the flooring all day is one tiny piece, which I finished, and then immediately took a 2-hour break. Lol. Speaking of which, I should probably go put some more flooring in before she gets back from Lowe's.
Let's go.
I've spent most of the last 8 hours composing and replying to this thread.
There it is.
Gang. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Adderall gang.
He gets, no. I mean...
I would love to take Adderall and build a house. That sounds fun, you know?
I was about to say, cool. Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, his wife definitely seems game to do it a lot, like, as far as it being her project as well and their project. But there is that little bit of, like, he mentions that a couple times that, like, oh, my style is doing a little thing and taking a 2-hour break. And it drives my wife nuts.
Right.
And you're just like, okay, all right.
I don't think she's a goon. I mean, I don't have that level of something awful knowledge, but yeah, I don't think that she was a goon.
But I mean, here's the thing, like to be super duper motivated and like have fun working with your hands.
So let's bring back to the
hell yeah.
One interesting thing that I think that I just had a thought about with Grover House, and I got to find the specific post in the thread that made me think this. It is a couple pages down, and it is when he is talking about the financing of the matter. His initial plan was to essentially bump his home from like an 80K valuation to like a 145K valuation, and taking out much less than that to build the material, take the materials and build it up to that, right?
Honey,
their original loan was like, I think something like 23K or something that they started the work on. He literally writes, I can only get half the money I need, but I think by the time I get that work done, I can get another evaluation on my house to get the rest of the money. And so here we are in this post where he's talking about, he's now there, they've built out part of the Grover House. His next step
HVAC. What's also interesting and funny, just anecdotally, is like, this is pre-housing crisis shit.
You are getting into my shit. You are cutting into what I was about to say.
This is what's so funny about this.
This is 2006. And let me just read this. This is going to set the scene. Like, yeah. Even if you haven't seen The Big Short or whatever, this is going to set the scene. First step was to get more money. He's talking about putting an HVAC, an AC system into his house.
Hell yeah.
This ended up being easier than I expected, as the bank happily bumped the value of my house up a great deal based on my word alone and gave me another $50,000 in home equity.
Oh my God.
Jake, I want to ask you one question.
The interest rate, interest rate wasn't as good as the one before, since the rates were rising, but still pretty good. This is 2006. Like, it is right there on the bubble.
Jake, one question I want to ask you is, Grover, at any point, because I've looked at this straight, has he ever talked about, like, his credit score?
I think he has fine credit. He's a software engineer. It's very clear he makes something in six figures.
But, like, has he ever, like, explicitly said, like, no, I'm sitting at 700 to 900?
No, I don't think he ever lists numbers. I don't think it's relevant to him. I think as someone who previously had a decently paying job, his credit was probably fine. If anything, this is the only act I could imagine like getting into it. Because he said, based on my word alone, I got $50,000 from the bank.
Well, remember, he's a Navy contractor.
That's true. He's got the Navy thing. Yeah, he's clearly got pretty good setup, pretty good money. You know, it's implied that his wife just works on the house most of the time. I think she might be, you know, just full time on that.
Just as an aside, what does everyone think that his credit score was at? Because I absolutely know all of you have like a little bit of a thought. If you had to think of his credit score, what do you think it is?
I have no thought other than probably fine, like good. Like, no. 700s, right?
Wow. So 700s. What do you think, Eliza?
I don't think I can answer because I know so little about like money and financing generally. It's something I'm trying to work
for
on.
For loans, what I would have to say is, 06 wise, 800 plus, even for that, for building and masonry and everything, even if you think of like how bad financing was around that time and how many people got fucked pre and post housing crisis, like a lot of people were getting fucked in the housing crisis, not because they couldn't afford to pay in on the rent for the homes or their rent to owns, which is even more fucked, where you go from rent to own and you could completely afford to finance that stuff, is because like the landlord couldn't fucking afford the overhead, which is what was one of the most deeply, darkly fucked things about the housing crisis. Around 08 and 09. That's just an aside, but it's like real conversations and like real phenomena I started seeing when I was like talking to people during the housing crisis, where they went from living in a house with dog shit, where they were paying absolutely everything on time and normal. And then they go from that to living with a family of three to living in their fucking station wagon while having a fucking affordable factory paying job. That's how bad it was back then. People don't realize it, but shit got hard for a lot of people through no fault of their own. They were doing the right thing and they were living by their means. Their landlords were forcing them into absolutely fucked situations because of absolutely fucked financing crisis, because of people getting too greedy and just living on the most awful credit system. But that's anecdotal. I don't want to get too in the weeds, but it's like, it's part of a fuller picture. It's interesting to hear that he could just do that lackadaisically.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I think that's another reason why it stands that he would have good credit. The bank didn't bat an eyelash at him.
Not a second.
Yeah. Easy answer right there. And even if it wasn't that good,
I'm sorry. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that. You know what I'm saying?
That's fine. Yeah. I mean, I get that. My whole point was that this was a precursor to the housing project. I don't think there could be a Grover house in this day and age. Like, I mean, feasibly there could be, but the guy would already have to be pretty rich. Like, to start doing all of this DIY stuff.
Yeah,
and Gerber
yeah,
probably to some degree was pretty well off. I think that's this is definitely a project of obviously he's trying to save money, but he has the money to save in the first place. Like,
absolutely.
I mean, he's taking it at loans out on it, which is this whole game of house reappraisal, I suppose, which I know very little about. But he does estimate that, I'm looking at the end of the thread, that I think to some degree they accomplished their goal. I think one thing that we could check in on in a different app, even if it's not the whole app, is like some research into where the Grover House is at today.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, that would be like, listen, Grover. This is me, Michelle Perez. Check it out. I've been sort of, as an aside, I've been looking at the shirt I've been wearing. I'm just flopping out, man. I don't know if my nipples are sewn through the shirt, but I'm looking flabby. Titties out, homie. Grover, listen to me. Hands in the prayer position. Homie, if you have any current day photos of you and your Grover house, is it still intact? Has it been demolished?
Oh, you didn't see?
Here we are.
Someone went there.
Hell the fuck yes, honey.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Woo!
This happened like a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
I gotta say, I don't think it's cool. I think that's taking it a little far.
I do agree.
You gotta be respectful.
You can actually find Grover House on Google Earth if you want.
Sure.
Google Earth's satellite data actually was incorporated into Flight Simulator, so you can you can in fact fly a plane into Grover House.
You can 9/11 Grover House.
Yes,
you
can.
So inclined.
If you choose.
What a world.
So Grover House is literally visible from space. So it makes it pretty easy to find on Street View. And somebody did in fact drive there and take selfies in front of Grover House, and it looks pretty much the same.
To reason, I suppose.
I mean, we wouldn't be able to see the wet rot just from the street.
Exactly.
Without some sort of specialized knowledge, which I do not have. But yeah, it is still standing. I wouldn't be surprised if it has subsided a little bit. I would expect that.
Yeah, you have to imagine if you put a marble down in the Grover House floor, it doesn't just sit still. It's probably rolling in a direction.
Yeah, no, that's just rolling, dog. It's rolling circular, like the curvature, the Coriolis effect. Fucking affects the Grover House on a regular level.
If you spin a top in the middle of Grover House, it never stops spinning.
And it's funny you bring up Microsoft Flight Simulator. If you try to fly into and pull a 9/11 on Grover House, you will have a sort of Inception style folding of the earth, all buildings, swampland, and et cetera, and tree growth. You will have to fly into a massive dip into the earth and will fly for 4 miles until you can crash into Grover House. But yeah. Wow. Yeah. No, that's bad boundaries, lies. Like, I don't know why those people do that. Like, if you want to hit up those homies, et cetera.
There's a difference between Grover maybe posting an up-to-date picture and fucking trespassing.
Yeah, no. It's like, Grover isn't J.K. Rowling or whatever.
No.
Yeah.
There's no wiki on the location of this homie. He's not a homie. He's just a guy. But yeah, there's no reason to trespass on some random dude's place of residence.
No.
Let me be the first to say.
He does not. He doesn't deserve that.
He's just some, he's some crank.
Yeah.
You don't have to go off do evil upon some crank.
Right.
I live in a world of cranks.
I would only support IRL agitating in cases of someone who like really was doing evil shit.
A font of animus and bigotry and
like the recently deceased Lotax who sucked.
That guy sucked. Yeah.
Exactly.
That guy sucked and he killed himself because he sucked and he deserved to die and he saw it. And so he beat everyone to the punch. C'est la vie.
Well, no, he just didn't feel like supporting his own children.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's
even worse, homie.
That's it. He spent as much money as possible to avoid having any sort of settlement payout to his family from the divorce. And when he got his child support adjudication, he saw the bill and just decided to kill himself instead of supporting his literal children. So that's my mother is a family lawyer, so I know the ins and outs of divorce and child support. And there is a narrative amongst divorced men primarily who it's like, you know, this bitch took my kids, she took my house, she took my money, you know, child support is gonna put me in the poorhouse kind of shit. You know what happens if you can't pay your child support because you don't have income to support it? You go to the judge and you show him your paperwork. You say, I can't live on what's left over after I have to pay child support. And the judge goes, true. Okay, your child support has been adjusted. That's pretty much what happens.
Like, there's a perception of how it is versus the reality of it. A divorce happens and there's a bad outcome with the kids and there's a bad outcome with child support. A lot of not libertarian, in like air quotes, liberal guys, they become right wing real fucking the fuck fast, because it's just like a X amount of payout. And it just turns out like they had like good paying jobs or whatever. And it's just like you're paying out of pockets for your fucking kids.
Yeah.
There is a basic misunderstanding of what child support is that has to be explained to, you know, most people. Well, primarily fathers. And this is very much a not all men thing, unironically, because occasionally you do get deadbeat moms. Mm-hmm. But I'm speaking in very general gender terms here.
Absolutely.
Most men, most fathers, and most divorced fathers do not understand what child support is or what it is supposed to be used for. So they think that paying child support is like renting time with the children. So you hear them say stuff like, well, I pay my child support, so I'm entitled to have the children at my house for X amount of time. But it actually works the opposite way. And I'm going to explain this on air so that if anyone listening, maybe you can get an explanation of it. What is actually the case is that the more the children are in your personal care and supervision in your house, eating your food, wearing clothes that you bought, the less child support you are expected to pay to the other parent.
Yes.
So child support is literally money that both parents spend on feeding, clothing, and housing the children and running the household generally, which is also why it's such bullshit when you see mostly, again, divorced dads going stuff like, I pay that bitch $500 a month of child support, and I just saw her go on a shopping spree at Trader Joe's and she bought organic lettuce with my child support money, that bitch.
It's like it's that fucking the welfare queen rhetoric, yeah, you know?
Exactly.
It serves as a rhetorical device, as an argument against the process versus, you know,
right,
the overarching societal needs for the process.
Family law is an interesting field of law, and it was interesting kind of growing Absolutely. Up with my mom. You know, she wouldn't talk to me about individual clients, obviously, but she would, you know, describe cases generally and describe outcomes to me. So I remember her telling me about the concept of alimony, and I'm like, that doesn't seem fair. Why should you have to pay, you know, usually the wife after you get divorced? And she says, well, because if this woman married this guy, dropped out of the workforce and raised his children for 10 years, she can't just go back out and get a job.
Absolutely.
She has sacrificed that amount of time from her resume towards raising children. So it's reasonable for him to reimburse her for that time that she spent until she can get back on her feet. And I'm like, oh, okay, that actually makes sense. But if you look at it from the perspective of, you know, my bitch wife is making me pay her to sit around and do nothing just because we got a divorce, then yeah, it does seem unfair, but that's not actually what's going on. So Lotax is like, he's a total scumbag, but I just want people to know exactly how much of a scumbag he is by understanding what child support is, and that this guy would literally rather die than feed and clothe his children. It is one of the shittiest possible things and most traumatic possible things I can imagine, that this guy decided that he would rather die than spend any time with his children from that point on ever, or support them in any way.
Well, it's like narcissism. You know, I don't want to interrupt too much, but it's like it's that sense of, you know what, these people are derived from me, and like, this is my impact on the world. We think about this a lot. The entirety of this person's world is actually me versus, yeah, the it's actual a outcome.
Narcissistic, yeah.
It is. It's yeah. Like, no. These people couldn't have a life outside of me, and then mm-hmm. I established this ground. It's like, no. It's, they're living their lives independently, and it's like, you want to control those terms, and when you can't control those terms, that's where the conflict arises.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't micromanaging everything.
Mm-hmm.
Where you don't have that absolute control, and when you think of someone like Lotex,
mm-hmm.
and you know, for good or ill, how he was able to sort of run that forum and that group of people, and then have that pathology of that group of people working in those discrete ways that they did, and having those interests that they did, you know, it's really getting lost in your own fucking sauce.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I can kind of see how that happens. Like, I, you know, at this point, I've started plenty of internet communities, nothing on the size of something awful, but there's certainly mm-hmm. always the temptation to just be an asshole and be a despot. And I don't know, I kind of learned through watching other people ruin their online communities that you can't really run stuff that way.
I think you just nailed the primary difference. You said you learned through watching other people, and I sincerely doubt a lot of people like Lotax would do that. Like, I feel, you know, it's a very insular
behavior. Part of that might be that he's Gen X and that he was one of the first guys to do it. I mean, he probably wasn't on Usenet, probably didn't have a lot of boomer mentors.
I'll say this though, like those generational gaps or this and that, that's all like buzzword market research / how do we commodify X amount of generation this place to that place. It's all the same different type of person, the same permutation of the type of person. Even the generational warfare dog shit is largely manufactured.
Every generation has the same types mm-hmm. of dudes. They get called different things, but they are the exactly. same types of dudes.
Exactly. It's just, you're putting in the time, you know the right people, you're in the right place at the right time, you've made the right decisions, and you're always putting in work. You're always putting in work, and you have the will. It's not impossible for you to try to fucking make your life out there.
I mean, that's what Grover did. You're describing his. Yeah, you're describing Grover.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. The pervert is the Grover House of Comedy.
Like,
but yeah, no.
He fucking built it. To bring it back to him building it, you quite literally
can build yourself up from nothing. It's just like, what's the outcomes? What's the outputs? What's the cultural zeitgeist that you maneuver within to get those outcomes or whatever?
Yeah, and I think it illustrates also that like certain types of people are able of accomplishing certain types of things that other people like couldn't. I know that's very simple to say, but
you have to have the guile.
Yeah, This guy
is like, his animating principles for this was like a little bit backwards, but
he's obsessed with saving money. And I'm going to bring it back to what Eliza was talking about mm-hmm. kind of before our break, which was the threat of people making fun of Grover and the idea of sort of the, you know, like we said.
Oh my God, dude.
Michelle.
Eliza, I'm against my producer in this respect. We have a pro Grover. We have a pro Grover acolyte.
What are we talking about
right now? You are pro Grover right now, Jake.
I'm actually desperately trying to tie the threads of what you're talking about into Grover House.
Uplifting Grover. We have pro Grover right now.
I'm trying to bring it back to making fun of Grover in the innocent way that we were talking about. Again, no one got hurt during Grover House. It is very funny to laugh at some of the things that went wrong.
I will concede that.
So Eliza did end up tracking down, I think, some of the thread that she was talking about, which we all knew about well, we didn't all knew, I guess. That's the whole reason we're doing this episode. One of the funny things that he did, listeners, is that in making his house and in basically, you know, doing it DIY and having it in this constant not quite finished state, he was still living in this like not quite finished space. And there's a post in this thread that is specifically for making fun of Grover, not just his house, by the way, himself, just the whole guy. Grover's like, this guy quotes Grover's post as, "I ruined a big patch of my vinyl siding breaking in the grill last week. I want to be very notable about the next sentence. Was cooking cheap 70% lean burgers. Hey, 99 cents a pound in parentheses. The grill was too close when the wall, when all the grease caught fire. I learned the hard way that the new siding I bought is apparently much less heat resilient than the older siding. Now I have a big section that's all melted and warped to hell that I have to replace." It doesn't get more DIY than that. I mean, it's
his cost-benefit analysis is so fucking bad that also in this same thread, there's two pages of quotes of Grover defending the F-22.
That's like what they originally roast him for, is like he's a Navy nerd.
That's what they start out roasting him for, because he's in there just both balls. F-22 is a good plane. It's a great project. If we don't keep spending money on this, China's going to close the technology gap.
Fucking incredible.
We're going to be left in the lurch. He was a big time military imperialist. Like desperately trying to be a member of the U.S. military, even though he was just a fucking contractor.
Incredible.
And a contracting engineer, I might add. Like, he wasn't anything badass, like a merc or something.
Yeah, no. Grover House is like on the fucking low end of the totem pole.
It's very funny to think that in a roundabout way, the military paid for Grover House.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Military contracting project.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even Grover being a fucking valor stealer, it's like stealing valor. Have you seen what valor the fuck is?
I think he qualifies as like not a, like he's a Navy. He would be a weeb for the Navy.
He's a weeb for the Navy, but like we think of how awful it is to simp for power. If you look at what power does versus simping for power, it's like, yeah, Grover, he's like doofy to a certain point where it's like, okay, he feels that way, but like Grover has not done what our military has done.
Yeah.
In any way, he's built a stupid building.
There's a great post in here that's totally unsighted, but I choose to believe it's true.
Sure.
Something awful user Stabbin Hobo, who is banned, says Grover bought a Porsche instead of save for his kids to go to college because, quote, they'll get loans.
That's what's up. That's the Grover way, baby. That's the Grover way. No, yeah, they start.
Weren't we just talking about fatherhood and financial responsibility towards your children? There you go.
They start posting. They just start summarizing things into Grover facts, and it's like, which we are one. Incredible. we already touched on.
Incredible. Grover, 200% style bangers.
Grover's house's foundation is uneven because he used stretchy cloth tape to measure, which is apparently true. I did read that part of the thread where he was like, the measuring tape I was using was off by a whole half inch. It fucked up everything.
Fuck me.
And then Grover spent a Christmas waist deep in shit because his sewer pipe that didn't pass inspection the first two times floated up and cracked open because he didn't fill the trench. And it flooded overnight.
Oh, and I want to note that according to the pictures that are in the restored Waffle Images thread, that sewer pipe ran directly under what he kept referring to as his wife's garden. So shit saturating the family gardening plot.
Oh my God.
Grover failed so many inspections, he just waited to get his professional engineering license so he could pass himself. which is quite the life hack.
That was the urban legend quality part for me.
Yeah.
So like,
that is considered to be an urban legend, but he does say at the beginning of the thread that he got some sort of certification. I'm just not sure exactly what it is.
I would believe that was where someone made up that Grover fact from. They spun that a little bit.
Right. I think he became an engineer. Or got engineering certification in the state, but that did not automatically qualify him to be an inspector. I think that's where the disconnect occurred. So.
Yeah. That,
like, it is just we were talking about this before we started recording again. This is where the making fun of the Grover House happened. If you read the Grover House thread as it stands, it is mostly people very enthused about the project, people cheering them on, well-wishers, etc. And if you will imagine the Something Awful forms as a physical space, somewhere off in the corner around a hallway, people were in this other forum going, look at this fucking idiot. What is going on over here? And that is where this thread comes into play.
I was about to say, my first thing is like my exposure to it was it was anecdotes. It was like society, people making comments on the mimetic quality of Grover House. And then eventually Eliza let me contextualize a lot of this shit for you.
It's but true.
Like,
yeah.
For me, for the outside looking in, one of the urban legend qualities of it was like one of the stories I had heard was like Grover had actually gotten cleared for all of these inspections or whatever. But like actually having looked through a thread, I've got seven notes on paper. The only other time I've done notes was for the thing with Sarah Hightower. There was one at the absolute top because I've actually done like contractor stuff now. Epoxy railings. Looking at the railings of the house.
Yeah.
For me, one of the most interesting parts was that the railings, like, on a first to second story transition is like the shit's all glued down.
He says
fucking funny.
I have this page up right now. He says, we tried two different types of construction adhesive, but the balusters still ended up loose. We finally retrofitted the construction adhesive with epoxy, which did the trick.
And then shingles with his wife, where it's part of one of the inspector denials of also, like licensing for his house to be 100% cleared where he can live in it or whatever.
Yeah. So in this same post, it's weirdly weird. I don't know why. Is there like a Something Awful thing where T was a W for a while? Because he types now as not a few times. I think it's probably just his own error.
Don't think it's a Something Awful thing. I think it's just an idiosyncrasy.
Yeah, because he says our house, he's clearly trying to say our house is now ready for the final building inspection, but it just says our house is not ready for the final building inspection, which is true.
Yeah.
And like the next post is him being like, they told us to put these windows in a different spot. They have to be tempered glass.
They have to be tempered glass.
But it's like,
like a $200 price point difference.
Yes, and multiple points along the way, is confronted by the system, and the system either forces him to hire a contractor or he finds a loophole. Those are the two outcomes that happen.
Or the system works at a air quotes macro level, which is so fucking funny. Thinking about everything we know about Something Awful now, where it's like, no, you're not the first fucking crank to exist in America.
Right.
We're a country of fucking cranks. Our emphasis on individual freedom, the I versus we equation in America is different than it is in other countries. That's the American experience, baby.
It falls into the American individualist narrative, like very easily, for sure. Eliza actually just shared the aerial view of Grover House in our Discord. You can
that's what's up, honey.
You just have to look for the house with a big fucking square attached to it. It would appear Grover has an above ground pool now.
Yeah. I mean,
My God. Of course he has an above ground pool.
So this is an old picture. It's from the 2011 thread.
Sure.
This is not a recent picture.
That's what's so funny about this. Grover House, 20 years plus 15, going.
15
honey.
Years. The thread is 15 years.
Fuck me. Sorry.
When
I'm looking at the register dates. That's
when is Grover House Day officially?
Oh, that's a good question. Would that just be the day of the thread?
The day the first post in the thread, I would say.
Yeah. It's not that long ago, to be honest, or as far as being in the fall. It is December 30th, 2006.
December 30th. Okay.
We'll be pretty primed timed for this release. It'll be a few weeks after this, but like now you'll know about Grover House. Now that you listen to this episode, you will know about Grover House Day.
My high school class was 07. Like that hits home so fucking hard.
I wish I still had my forum login for one of the LF diaspora forums. Had a really good Grover House thread that started. It was titled "In the Beige Room with Mismatched Windows Near the Swampland."
Yes.
And of course, there were many song parodies, including "Our House in the Middle of a Swamp." And I think that thread that I cannot see because I don't have that login anymore is probably full of that stuff. I should see if I can get somebody's login and export it as an archive because I remember it being really good.
Yeah, if we find some of these resources, we can disseminate them through the Twitter account too as like follow-ups to the episode post. Mm-hmm. I love, there's one part in the thread, I don't have it pulled up, but he's like, all of our neighbors have slowly started to hate us. They all want us to be done with the project and none of them want to talk to us about it.
Yes.
It's like, he's like, there's like an old couple that tried to file noise complaints on us, but turns out what I was doing was legal. Sucks to be you, old couple. I was just like, oh my God, their whole neighborhood is probably like turning against them, talking about that fucking house that he's building.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the things that's discussed in the thread is what we were talking about earlier, which is like, what is the appeal? You know, why do we all think this is so fucking funny when I hate to reuse the word, but it is such an anodyne subject. It's just this mm-hmm. kind of ugly house somewhere mm-hmm. in America, not particularly notable. And people ask that a lot, and there are a lot of different answers, but one of them is that, you know, he built the mock-up in like MS Paint.
Yeah.
Yes. Before he did the CAD for it, and it's just like copy mm-hmm. and pasted pieces of the existing house sort of made into a barn shape, and the final house actually does look very much like the initial MS Paint drawing, which is the problem.
Yeah.
It's awful. I think
well said, very well said. The Grover House is kind of the opposite of civil engineering.
Oh my God, right?
Like it's uncivil engineering.
Yes, absolutely. It is very uncivilized engineering.
Yeah, it is
primitive engineering.
Like, in what world are you able to do that kind of masonry project on swamp land? And like, you're going to live there forever. It's insane. Building a garage on swamp land is insane.
Well, that is mostly garage that we're looking at there, so
yeah, it is like fucking garage barn. That's all they know how to make. They said that the only thing they made before was a 12 by 12 shed that is a big square. Guess what they ended up making for their house? A big square.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, it's just a very funny thing that it serves as this weird, you know, I guess like not like cautionary tale, but example. I don't even want to say cautionary tale. It's like, obviously don't maybe do this, but like, it's not like we're sitting here talking about how Grover's house is burning
Jacob,
down. You
Jake,
know?
I'm not
like,
going to
It's
like,
not burning down yet. It's not, yeah, it's not, you know.
Yeah, no,
it's
I don't
too
take
wet
any...
to burn down.
Exactly.
I don't want to take too much wind out of this motherfucker's sails. Like at the end of the day, this fucking guy still lives there right now.
That's correct.
Right? So like,
do we know that he still lives there?
We don't. That's not correct.
Okay.
I was just wondering.
No, yeah, we can follow up on that.
Someone the fuck lives
there. Yeah, let's dox Grover.
I just can't imagine they'd have an easy time selling it, but maybe not.
Well, I mean, I was going to say maybe he's going to have the last laugh because the real estate market is fucking nuts right now. Right, I think that right. he could probably sell literally anything at this point.
Who but knows someone, if his plan came to, yeah, I'm sure his house is more valuable than it was.
You get money, right? You get money. You make something absolutely fucking tacky, right? That's the outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see it at various levels. You see people far richer than Grover make far uglier decisions, or rather just as ugly decisions, I should say, because they're in control. There's no mitigating factors. They go, oh, I like it this way. I don't care what other people have to say. I can afford mm-hmm. it. And that's it. That's the answer to the question right there. So, yeah. You know, all is to say, we've certainly had a lot of places taken of over the pondering of this house. I did want to bring it back to Eliza at the end, just to kind of circle back to where we started and talk about what she's been finding in some of these LF boards. Or what was it called? Was it, laissez-faire?
I believe that we are looking at a laissez-faire thread that was then sent to the gas chamber, which is where basically threads that get shut down by mods and banned. Yeah, gets sent to the gas chamber, which is nice because even if a thread is bad, it's still archived. The stuff is very hard to find, so I would like credit for being literally Hercule Poirot. Yeah, so in 2011, and the original Grover thread was in 2006. So 2011 rolls around, and in the leftist politics subforum of something awful called laissez-faire. Mm-hmm. Somebody just started posting about Grover. I think they just started a new Grover thread. And it starts out mostly making fun of him for his incredibly bad arguments in the thread about the F-22A, which is a disaster of a fighter plane that was intended to replace the F-15. And as of 2011, the F-22 required 30 hours of maintenance for every hour that it was in the air. So the thread has a good time making fun of Grover and comparing his cost-benefit analysis of the plane to his horrible house. And that gradually tilts over into making fun of the house almost exclusively. And the thread's quite good and has some very good posts in it, which we can save for dramatic reenactment for next time. But the thing about this thread is that it was so funny and got so much attention and so many upvotes that Grover, who was, again, remember, still a mod at that time, complained mm-hmm. to the other mods about it. And I don't have any access at this point into the mod subforum. There is a secret mod forum within the Something Awful forums. And if you are really good and you've got good contacts, hint, hint, sometimes a Something Awful mod will smuggle out some screenshots from the mod forum. So if any of my Something Awful mod friends are listening, I would love to see if you have a record of the Grover House discussion. A thread was such a big hit and everyone just did fucking... it was Night at the Opera. Everyone got up on stage and had a shot, and there are some really good posts in there. That's where most of the famous pictures and memes of Grover House come from, the one where it's been photoshopped into a Taliban compound. No, it was Osama bin Laden's hideout is what it was specifically.
I fucking love those diagrams. Absolutely. Yeah,
there's the Small Bart one. Somebody paid money to change Grover's display picture and subheading, which is something you can do on Something Awful. You can pay money to forcefully change somebody's display picture and their display name under their picture. So usually people would choose very large text in red font to just say that, hey, I'm a fucking asshole. I posted porn in the whatever thread, and then a really horrible picture like Goatsy or something. So you could pay like $10 to do this to somebody else, and they would have to pay more money to change it back. It was a great system. So somebody did that to Grover. It only lasted a few minutes, but they got a screenshot of it. So he got mad and he went crying to daddy. And around the same time, completely coincidentally, also in laissez-faire, somebody, and I do not remember who exactly it was, maybe somebody can correct me on this, posted a thread, the title of which was something like, I am going to assassinate Barack Hussein Obama, the president of the United States. And the inside of the thread was just like, if I remember correctly, a description of using a service to air missile to take down Air Force One. It was obviously like shit posting, right? So,
yeah. So for the uninitiated, a surface to air missile, so we'd be one type of missile, which is the Stinger missile, if you're working from the West.
Thank you, yeah, Michelle. Sorry. That's very helpful. I'll be making a note in my file. So Lotax posts an announcement in Laissez-Faire that I now can't remember exactly if this was before, if this was the cause of forums cancer or if this was the actual shutdown. I think it was the shutdown. Lotax says, hey, I got a Secret Service visit to my home by a couple of Secret Service agents who wanted to speak to me about the threats to life and limb of the United States president the other day, and I don't fucking like that. And since I don't like you guys or your shitty forum, there are going to be consequences. Now, it turned out later, people kind of took his word for it, because that sort of thing is known to happen online. Like, you can get swatted, things like that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it turns out in the years since that there's been a correction to the record, and I believe somebody made a Freedom of Information Act request on this to see if there actually was a file on something awful and came up with nothing. And I think there was some also corroboration that Lotax was in fact lying about this, and that the real reason that they shut down LF was because of Grover.
Oh my God.
He bitched and moaned until he finally got LF shut down.
He got owned too hard by the internet.
Yep. So, that started a domino effect to our current conditions, which is pretty interesting, but I think I'd like to save it for next time, because I do need to do a little bit more research than I have done.
Absolutely.
Sure. But needless to say, it is interesting that just from talking about this stupid thread, we can actually take the central figure Grover and trace this weird impact that he kind of had on the internet by essentially lobbying to get this one sub forum banned. Thus putting those people out into the diaspora.
I will say this.
Finding other methods to post.
A guy that followed me before I got air quotes perma banned on MPRES Rights IRL, Ken Klippenstein. I will try to make an appeal to this motherfucker, but you can do an FOIA request. We need to see the something awful Secret Service files, Ken Klippenstein. Let us know.
Maybe we can try to track those down.
Yeah, no. I'm going to make a main again. And, you know, I will be reported and mass reported for truth. I will do this. I have a account made, but I want to like work it into my milieu.
Well, I think that's
a whole different game.
I think that's a great tease to end on, especially if we plan to bring Ruben back into the fold for another discussion of the Grover House.
Honey, baby, Mr. Grover House, I'm about to bust.